The name of the church there in Houston, and in fact, they just loaded the, had to really just take their sanctuary and put all the stuff in the sanctuary, remove the chairs and organize it inside their church, and worked all week to empty the church by today. And so that was what was going on in those pictures. The name of the church, I will not try to say it in Spanish because that's, it has a Spanish name on the sign, but the name it translated is the Pilgrim's House. We are sojourners and pilgrims in this world. We're just passing through, and may we do everything for the glory of God the Father in the name of Jesus. It's thrilled to have you here with us today. And along with Miss Michelle Paget, as she shared at the very beginning, and welcome the visitors. I welcome you if this is your first time being here, or maybe you've been here on several occasions and it hasn't been, it's been a while. We're thrilled to have you here with us this morning. And certainly you that come each and every week, we're glad to see you today. This morning we're going to continue a series from that we began a couple of weeks ago on compassion. Compassion. The very first week we dealt with the subject of having a heart for the hurting. Last week we dealt with a heart for the sick. And this morning we're going to deal with the subject of a heart for the harassed. A heart for the harassed. Would you say that with me? A heart for the harassed. I'd like for you to turn to Mark chapter 9. We'll be looking primarily at that passage of Scripture this morning from Mark 9. Actually, a good section of Scripture we'll be looking to in a few moments, and trusting the Lord to open our eyes to His Word this morning. As we begin today, I want us to go back to the very foundation of what we've been talking about and the basis of this subject of compassion, because we've got to understand who God is in relationship to us and who it is that He would have us to be and become more like. And so I want us to look at Psalm 145. It's going to be on your screen. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 145 is really there, our head text for this series. And I want you to just read along with me from the New King James Version. It says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Just say it one more time. I want you to read it real loud this time. This is the Word of God now. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Now I want you to look with me at Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read verse 35 and 36 here in this passage. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion." Would you say that with me? He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Now I want us to go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I want you just to turn there. You're going to stay there just a moment. We're not going to read through it quite yet. But when we consider these passages, again, our heart needs to be moved and turned in the direction of our Father God's heart on the subject of compassion. And so when we look to God and we look to His Word, we understand that He is a compassionate Savior. He's a compassionate deliverer. He's a compassionate healer. He's a compassionate baptizer. He's a compassionate Lord. He's a compassionate King. He is compassionate, and that is a part of His nature. And since it's a part of His nature, that is divine, we're to be partakers of His divine nature according to the Scriptures. And so if there's anything in me that is not like Him, guess what? He's trying to change that in us. And He desires to change us. Now, this is where we struggle sometimes, no doubt, in our life, is the struggle between being who God would have us to be and this flesh that we live in that is always in a battle between the Spirit and what God and His Holy Spirit desires to do in and through us. But we want to be clear about who God is and about what He is wanting us to become, how He is wanting us to be. Jesus, we talked about last week, was a person that was moved by compassion. We read the Scripture here from the Gospels today. And last week we read where He stepped out of a boat to get to where the people were. So we notice He moved toward people where people were hurting. He came to them. He didn't shy away from the hurting. He didn't shy away from that one that was in distress. He goes to them. But not only does He just go, He touches them. He touches them. He doesn't stand as a potentate of this world, as a royalty of this world, where they would stand in an aloof position and stand and just look. It's not a matter of Him just peering and having compassion, but He had compassion enough that it will move Him to touch people where they are and bring healing to their lives. So we see Him as one who moves, one who goes into action as He would have us to do. Now, what I want us to recognize today as we now go to the subject of having compassion to those who are harassed in this world. What we've got to understand is that we live in the real world is a spiritual world. It's no doubt we understand the substance, the material aspect of the world. We understand the dirt, earth. We understand the various parts of nature, in created nature, and the things that exist. We understand things that have been made by man and by hand. I touch this that has a structure that has been built. It is made of a substance, and we understand that. We grab hold of the realities of individual people. But there's an unseen world that we sometimes it can escape us. What is going on in a moment's time? What is happening in the world? We read the news. We see an event take place, and a person did this, or this particular dictator took this particular action, as we saw this week in North Korea. We see diplomacy between individuals and groups of people and nations. We deal with people on the job and the relationships within the family, and the list goes on in this world of substance. But there is the reality of the spiritual world that you and I, if we're not careful, we will underestimate. We will underestimate the activity that happens in the spiritual realm of things, which, let me just tell you, in our world, some people will think you're absolutely an idiot sometimes when you talk in that realm, that you're talking about what they can't see. But the reality is, in our world of substance, in our material world, we have figured out certain things that we can do that cannot be seen, right? The electricity that's flowing through this room, if you had the cell phone that can communicate by picture or by sound in this room that none of us could see unless we had a something to pick it up, something that could tune in, something that could receive. We didn't struggle cutting on the lights this today, whether we understood it or not. A power plant that could be far away from here that somehow, while we just flipped a switch, it came. We didn't struggle with that. But the same people will often struggle with what they can't see when we're talking about God and He created the universe. And we compare that to somebody who just works a job and has taken science and all of the things like that and has brought things into being. But we're talking about God. We're talking about not only God, though, in the spiritual world. We're talking about the forces of evil. And there is a person known as the devil that's an actual, real, existing personality in the world. It's more than just a thought, an idea. Satan is more than just a particular viewpoint. It's more than just the accumulation of just evil thoughts and behavior by individuals. There is a real devil that exists. We have his story, just like we have the story of and understand God through his word. I also understand that there is the enemy. And so it's important for us to deal with in our heart and mind the reality of a spiritual world that exists. An entire world that is beyond my ability to necessarily see with my eyes. But that's why it's so important in a spiritual world for me to be spiritual in spirit, in heart. That's why we have to take sides in this world of battle between that that is good and the forces of evil. You can't remain neutral. Jesus said, if God is not your father, talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus' father, God, if he's not your father, then the devil is your father. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. The devil's your father. And I love this. Many years ago, I read this, and it was talking about the scripture that says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And it's really talking about, the preacher was talking about Christian young men, young women, Christian older men, old women that are perhaps dating and that's of a person who is not a believer. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Because, they said it this way, because if a believing girl marries an unbelieving boy or vice versa, she's bound or he's bound to have trouble with his father-in-law. That'll sink in just a little while. Did I say it right, John? Okay, I had some looks at me going, who's their father-in-law? The devil! So if I was an unbeliever today, if I'm not joined in with as a child of God through Jesus Christ, Jesus indicated then I'm of this world, basically. And if I'm of this world, then my father is the devil. Now, that does not mean, now we got to understand the context of all of that. That does not mean we go around talking about, well, you know who his dad is. You know who her father-in-law is. You know, we don't do that. But what we got, what we're, the important thing that Jesus was trying to teach us was this very thing, that there's a reality in the spiritual world and there's a need for God in our lives. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My very nature leans toward the devil. That's what it's saying. Just in and of myself, I have a leaning that way ever since sin entered the human race. By one man, Adam, sin entered the human race. Ever since that particular point, there has been a leaning that I have. Nobody taught me to tell a story, to lie as a kid. Nobody taught me that. I come up with that on my own. Because of that leaning in my life. But what I want us to grasp on a little different level today, not just staying there, but for us to understand what we are dealing with in this world, and we can't just look at situations and just in life and just look at it from a human standpoint. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." The reality is, in this world, we deal with a lot of things that are of a spiritual, howbeit a evil spiritual reality that exists within this world. Thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that is the power of it all. That is the reality of it all. You and I need Jesus not only to save our soul from our sin and be born again and made right in relationship with God, but I'm in need of His loving, powerful presence at all times in every way to come to my rescue when there's things around me that I don't even know what's going on. I may not even recognize it. And we have a God. Now, but what I want us to grasp as well, we're not talking about an arm wrestling match between Lucifer the devil and Jesus and God. They're not in a tug of war. We are. See, we're the ones that the enemy wants to fight. He lost that battle before it began. He is not a match for God. God's not sitting around, "I don't know what I'm going to do with the devil today. He just really is getting on my nerves. He's frustrating me. I don't know. He just seems stronger today than he has another day." No, God is not like that. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omniscient. The devil is no problem for God. He may be a problem for you and I. But that is not even true in light of Jesus Christ. In and of my flesh, he can give me fits, and he does. People all over the world today. But that's why it's important for me to recognize who I am, whose I am, who I belong to, and to recognize that in Him, and the Bible says that you and I are, who have trusted in Him, are that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. It is Christ in us to do, He desires to do His will within us, but He is ever there interceding on our behalf. What we have to make sure we do is line ourselves up with Jesus. Line yourself up with God. Make sure you're on His side, that you are working and you are living your life in the direction on the side of the Lord. You got to realize this now. we see this really a Old Testament, what we believe to be a an appearance of the Lord in the Old Testament. It's the captain of the Lord of hosts that appears to Joshua in the Old Testament. Joshua's meeting with this is not a captain of an army down the road. This is a spiritual encounter he has with the Lord. And may we always remember that's Jehovah, that the Lord. We see him. He comes on the scene in Matthew as the Messiah, as Jesus in the flesh. But Jesus did not. That was not his beginning. He has always been. He was there from creation. And so we talk about him as the Lord, as the Lord. And so I remember Joshua being concerned about a battle that he had, and he's basically talking to the Lord, Joshua is, about and trying to make sure the Lord is on his side. But the Lord indicated to him that he was not on his side. He wanted to know whether Joshua was on his side. You see, I got news for you. The Lord is not on your side. What? He's not on your side. The question is, whose side are you on? See, that's where it comes down to. Whose side are you on? I love this right here, this scripture. Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the Lord's side? And so you and I get on the Lord's side when we come in through by the blood of Jesus Christ. We get on the Lord's side. But then we got to make sure after we've accepted Him as our personal Savior, that the decisions we make through life are in alignment with His will, His plan, so that we don't make ourselves vulnerable in this world. Because when we open up our heart and mind into things that are outside of God's will, it makes us vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. That's why it's important. The Bible says, with every temptation, He makes a way of escape. What kills us is when we don't take the way of escape. Because, well, again, He's not made us a bunch of robots. He's given us free moral agency to make decisions, to choose right from wrong, choose life or choose death. Every day we have those decisions that we are confronted with. But it's important that we always take the way of Christ, the way of the Spirit of God, the way of the Lord, that we walk in His way and don't put ourselves in a vulnerable position. Now, I'm glad that the Lord has, in His sovereignty, has rescued me many times when I stepped into the wrong pathway. But the truth of the matter is, well, sometimes when we keep on going down certain roads, things happen to us in a negative fashion where we've opened ourselves up to the attack and onslaught of the enemy because we've been disobedient to God. Now, that's the truth of the Word of God. You can read it from Genesis to Revelation, but when you get outside living according to the will of God, you make yourself vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. It's just the truth of His Word. So we've got to understand the reality of living in a spiritual world, and my warfare is not with you. Yours is not with me. It's ultimately that is spiritual. Principalities and powers, these exist. That's what I'm talking about. the rulers of the darkness of this age. There are rulers in the, of the darkness of this age. They are working. They are militaristic in fashion. Of spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Not in heaven, but in heavenly places, in exalted places. The Bible speaks of Lucifer, Satan, being the being a spiritual power in the air. We don't know what all of that really means, but what we understand is that that we are dealing with a real spiritual foe, an evil enemy, and he has a name. And what he does, he loves to harass people. He harasses people in different ways. He harasses people physically. He seeks to attack us physically. And let me just say this. Every physical thing that ever happened to me isn't the devil. Eating homemade biscuits every day has affected my cholesterol. I ate every one of them. I ate every single one of them. Knowing the devil didn't make me do it. I'm sure you heard that story, but I can't help but tell it. There was a woman that had a real problem about buying clothes, dresses. She kept buying them. It was an issue for them financially. Her husband talked to her over and over. Finally, he said to her one day, he said, "The next time you feel tempted to buy a dress, you just don't need to do it. We can't afford it. You say the devil makes you do it." He said, "Well, tell him the next time, get thee behind me, Satan," like Jesus did to Peter. He came home the next day, there was another new dress laying across the bed. He said, "Well, did you tell the devil, get thee behind me, Satan?" She said, "Yes, but he said it looked good from back there too." That's how he does stuff. But he harasses people physically. He harasses people, and this is nothing funny about it. Emotionally, mentally, he comes against people, bringing just intense hurt, heartache, can bring depression upon people. He is relentless in his pursuit. And when I talk about harass, everybody in this room is not being harassed at this moment. Some of us, we can never know, have never experienced some things that some other people have experienced. And we can't make rhyme or reason for any of the thing. But there's some people that have experienced and may be experiencing harassment from the enemy on a level that is tormenting to them. Now, I want you just to look. This was our text. Mark 9. Verse 14. "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when he saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit.'" He has a mute spirit. Now, I want us to note this right off, that the Lord Jesus here comes at a very attuned, appropriate time. He comes on the scene. And God has a way of doing that. We just have to recognize it. Jesus shows up here and he says, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit." And when wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Here we also find that Jesus is not afraid to engage in complex situations. So I want you to hear these things. He comes, and then he's not afraid of complex situations. This is a complex situation. That's your child that you brought here. This is a child that a father has brought, a parent has brought to the Lord. This is what's going on. This is awful. This is terrible. This is not only harassment to this child. This is harassment to this family, to this mother, to the father, everybody that's around. We could just go ahead and explain. This is harassment to the school teacher, to everybody in the person's, this young man's life. Jesus answered him, verse 19, and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." So not only does he come, not only does he arrive at at the right time, not only does he engage in this complex situation, but he also rebukes faithlessness. He rebukes unbelief. We talked about that last week. Don't doubt God, doubt your doubt. Doubt your doubt, not God. So he rebukes unbelief. Then they brought him to him, the boy to him. And when he saw him, when who saw him? When the boy saw him, when that spirit saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed the little boy. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood." Let me tell you something else. Jesus don't mind your story either. He wants to hear your story. So I want to just, let's just break this down now. He is not overwhelmed by your situation. He can come in at the right time. He's not afraid of the complexities of the situation that is going on in your life. We see him rebuking any unbelief that exists, and in this case it was his own disciples. How many times have we been those disciples? Our unbelief, our faithlessness, we could not be used in the manner that God would have us to be used. And now we see that Jesus, he loves to hear our story. What are we going through? How long has this been happening to him? And he said, "From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him." Who's he talking about? He's saying this evil spirit has done this. Whom the devil is a part of. Satan, that's Lucifer, that's the evil forces. That's who's doing this. "But if you can do anything, have compassion on him and help us." Here we have now compassion for the harassed. So not only does our Lord have compassion on the hurting, and then maybe the one that is just going through a struggle on one hand, and the sick on another, we see that he has compassion for. Here he's got compassion upon this little boy and this family being harassed by the devil. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Now, what does Jesus do? Jesus now opens the door for a miracle. He opens the door for a miracle. This is beautiful. And so I want to tell you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the difficulty, no matter how the enemy has harassed you and hounded you, we serve a God who wants to open the door for a miracle in your life. That's what we see going on here. Immediately. immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears. I want you to just picture this. He's crying. This father's crying. Tears are flowing. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's as sincere as you could possibly pray. I believe. Help my unbelief. You see what that was? My spirit and my flesh. There's the battle. I believe. It's my spirit talking. Help my unbelief. That's my flesh. That's the reality of who we are as people. We find ourselves right in the midst of all of that. This old flesh. Seemed like overnight my hands looked like my daddy's. You know why? They're not kids' hands anymore. This flesh fades. This flesh struggles. But the spirit man within me says, I believe. My flesh says, I don't know how God's going to do it. My spirit says, I don't care how He's going to do it. My God is able to do it. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter no more. Enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsing him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not do cast it out? So he said, this kind comes only by nothing but prayer and fasting. But I want you to see the little boy. Took him by the hand and he picks him up. He raises him up. They thought he was dead. What we find here is that Jesus, he opened the door for a miracle by finding out where the man stood in his faith. And he said, in an honest battle, he said, I believe, help my unbelief. But what we see here, he said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. What he did then, he dethroned the enemy. He dethroned the enemy. He dethroned the devil. He set the devil down. That's what he did. He set him down. What I want us to grasp, and I try to do this, the Lord helped me to do it in a way for everybody to understand. Our God is an awesome God. And it's the simple things that confound wise people. That's what the Scripture says. And you know what? This really is simple. I just have to give it to Jesus. That's just how I think, y'all. I go through a complex set of things and I sit there and go, but what is this thing really about? It's about me surrendering my life to the Spirit and not me letting my flesh man dominate how I think and how I react to circumstances and how I live. And so what Jesus did was change this situation, bring a miracle, and the boy rose up and he left a different way than he came. This old chorus said, I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Better stop playing, it's going to sound weird. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you're bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, for the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You can start playing again, Sherry. If that's you, say, listen, the enemy has been harassing me. A lot of different ways that can happen. But if you're being harassed by the enemy, I want you just to come up here, similar to the way we did last week, praying for the sick. I want you just to come up here and just stand across here. After you get up here, we'll dismiss the rest of the folks. And we'll just pray together, and then we'll leave here. But we're going to leave here. You don't have to leave here like you came in Jesus' name. That may be, and I want to tell you what he does. A lot of times he harasses people about things that never will happen. He'll tell you things that's going to happen to your kid, to your grandkid, to your loved one, and strike you with fear. And he is a liar and the father of all lies. But I want us to, wherever the harassment is, I want you to come. Maybe be on behalf of somebody. I want you to just stand with me. Would you come? Hallelujah, Jesus.